Cancer basically is the result of damage done to our bodies. Damage is generally the result of our diet and what we eat and the environment that we live in and the lifestyles that we live, which in turn... which in turn makes us develop acidic body systems. Sorry, I think we need... Are the cameras... So we also saw that Otto Warburg, back in 1931, was awarded the Nobel Prize. And why was he awarded the Nobel Prize? Simply for his discovery of what causes cancer. Now, modern medicine is driven by pharmaceuticals, only interested in pushing expensive drugs, which can only offer treatments with a 1 to 3% effectiveness, with horrific side effects, as we've seen, of which, surprisingly, death is always one of the common side effects of chemotherapy. So I don't know how they get around that one. So if modern medicine doesn't have the answer to cancer, we've got to ask the question, does God have the answer to cancer? Can God, through nature, successfully treat cancer? So let's look at a couple natural ways and a couple people that have actually overcome their cancers by using natural treatments. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, for the majority of us, I guess, we should be familiar with Dr. Lorraine Day. You have cancer. You're going to die, the doctors told me. But they were wrong, says Dr. Lorraine Day. Now, she was diagnosed with an invasive breast cancer and had a lumpectomy of a small tumour, which you can see there in the larger picture. But the tumour soon reoccurred and became very aggressive and grew rapidly. Yet, Dr. Lorraine Day rejected standard therapies because of their destructive side effects and because those therapies often led to death. She chose instead to rebuild her immune system using natural, simple, inexpensive therapies designed by God and available to everyone so her body could heal itself. Now, I'm just going to show you a few photos, which are not the prettiest photos, of the cancer that she had. There's some shots there of the tumour that she had. She was so bad at one point, she was not expected to live through the night. That's how bad she got. At one point, they said, "We don't expect her to live through the night." But yet, through God's grace, she was able to overcome this terrible breast cancer. Now, Dr. Lorraine Day, who was she? She was Associate Professor and Vice Chairman of the Department of Orthopaedic Surgery at the University of California School of Medicine. She trained thousands of doctors. She was Chief of Orthopaedic Surgery at San Francisco General Hospital also. And because she refused conventional treatment, she didn't go with chemo or radio, she was rejected by many of her peers and she was labelled a quack. And to this day, she has helped thousands and thousands of people by showing them how to overcome their cancers naturally through diet, and she's constantly hounded and persecuted and labelled as a quack. So how does she do it? Basically, she followed the 8 laws of health, New Start, and she goes through them in her video programs, which are nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, air, rest, and trusting God. She changed her diet completely to an 80% raw food-based diet and 20% cooked food. And when we talk about diet and returning to the original diet and God's laws of health, if you're sick and you have cancer, essentially that's what you have to do. You need to turn to an 80% raw food diet and 20% cooked food diet. She also addressed some of her emotional issues that she had in her life by giving them to God and forgiving those that had caused harm to her in the past. And by putting God's principles together, by following every single law, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, air, rest, and trusting God, she got better, and better still, she's helped thousands and thousands of other terminally ill cancer patients overcome their cancers. Now, to find a little bit more about her, you can visit her website, which is drday.com, and she's got in particular 2 videos or DVDs where she shows exactly, one's called Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore also, same title as this talk, where she goes into the first part of what we spoke about this afternoon about the cancer industry and chemotherapy. And I challenge anybody that has cancer, I can guarantee you, after you hear her speak of what she has to say about chemotherapy, you will opt against it on that video. Sorry? Yeah, we've got them. Caroline's made a good point. The videos are in the church library if you do want to borrow them. The other one's called You Can't Improve on God. And in that, video. She goes through step by step, through all the steps that she went through in great detail, what she ate, what food she ate, how she ate it, how to prepare it, the juices she had, when to have them, and she goes in very great detail. It runs for almost 2 hours, just that video alone, on what she did in terms of what to eat to get better and how she followed God's eight laws of health. Now, someone else that basically did the same thing was Reverend George Malcolmus. He started an organisation called the Hallelujah Diet and Lifestyle. Now, he was diagnosed back in 1976. His story reads, and I'll just read his story quickly. In 1976, I was told I had colon cancer, a potential life-threatening physical problem. Just prior to being told I had colon cancer, I'd watched my mother die, a horrible death at the hands of the medical community, which had treated her with conventional treatment for her colon cancer. Because of Mum's horrible experience at the hands of her well-meaning doctors, when I was told I had the same problem, I went searching for a better means of dealing with it. In my search, I contacted evangelist Lester Roloff, a great Bible preacher in Texas, for help. Brother Roloff had been teaching biblical nutrition for years. He discouraged me from going the medical route while encouraging me to simply change my diet from the American Standard Diet to the Genesis 129 diet of raw fruits and vegetables. He also encouraged me to drink a lot of carrot juice. Almost immediately after making this change, I started to get well. Within a year after making this diet change to a pure raw vegetarian diet, not only was my tumour gone, but so were all my other physical problems I was suffering from when I made the diet change. This experience drew me into the Bible, a book I had been studying and preaching for over 20 years prior to my illness, to see what it had to say on the subject. And he writes, to my amazement, even though he'd been studying the Bible for most of his life, he had missed the health benefits there. So, what is the Hallelujah Diet exactly? It's the nutrition portion of an overall healthy lifestyle. Once you understand the Hallelujah Diet, they write, you will find it is very simple to prepare and to follow, and they advocate a ratio of 85%. They take a little bit higher, 85% raw and 15% cooked food each day. And that's the secret, friends. It's 80% raw and 80-20, or in this case, 85% raw. But the emphasis here is on the raw. And that's what we need to look at. If you've got cancer, and we'll see on the video later, if you change your diet and make these changes, there is no reason why you can't overcome your cancer. And it's been shown time after time after time again. Now, the substance I want to talk about now is basically all in a class by itself. I'm just returning back to my website, which is b17.com.au, and I want to talk about vitamin B17. Now, it's a chemical structure and chemical properties of B17 are well known to scientists around the world. Now, Laetrile, or vitamin B17, as it has been labelled, nature's chemotherapy. The exact way it performs chemically in malignant cancer cells is well known in the principles of chemistry. If we look at history, we find back that in 1840 it was known as amygdalin, which comes from the Greek word meaning Greek word almond, because the substance was first discovered in the bitter almond. And the Chinese have been using bitter almonds to treat tumours and cancers for around 3,000 to 4,000 years. Bitter almonds these days are pretty hard to come by, but it's been found that apricot kernels, that is the seed of the apricot, is also very high in B17. Now, it's interesting to note that the Hunzas, okay, which are found in the remote recesses of the Himalayan mountains between West Pakistan, India and China, that these people are world known over for their amazing longevity and health. Now, they live well beyond 100 years and have commonly been known still to father children, even at the age as high as 110. One of the first medical teams to study the Hunzas was headed by world-renowned British surgeon, Dr. Robert McGarrison. And he wrote in the Journal of the AMA back in January 7, 1922, he reported, the Hunza has no known incidence of cancer. They have an abundance of apricot crops and that they dry in the sun and they largely use for food. And sorry, I've lost my mouse here. There we go. Okay, we're back up. So 70 years ago, there was actually no money in Hunza. They didn't have a currency. A man's wealth was actually measured by the number of apricot trees that he owned. The apricot in its seed is the most precious food of the Hunza and makes up a large portion of their diet. The thousands of apricot kernels that they do not eat, they store and grind them finely and squeeze them under pressure to produce a very rich oil used in cooking and for topical applications. So the Hunzas have no known incidence of cancer. They have an abundant crop of apricots, which they dry out in the sun, and largely they use for food. So coming back to B17 Laetrile, there's basically three terms that you can use interchangeably. There's amygdalin, which is the natural substance found in bitter almonds or apricot kernels, and then you've got B17 or Laetrile. Now, B17 Laetrile is the extract of apricot kernels. And Ernst T. Krebs, or Dr. Ernst T. Krebs, back in 1952, he isolated and extracted the amygdalin and named it Laetrile, and he registered it with the National Cancer Institute back then as vitamin B17, which he was very lucky to do because there was a lot of opposition. They didn't know too much about it back then, and they were weren't too happy afterwards when they realised what they were registering, vitamin B17, and that it was being used to attack cancer. But you can now obtain it. It comes in an IV, intravenous form, or in tablet form, and it's just a concentrated dose, a much heavier dose of the vitamin that's naturally found in apricot kernels. So let's have a look in a bit of detail how B17, which is found in many foods, it's actually found in over 1,200 different types of plants that we eat, edible plants, how it actually kills cancer. Now, it's quite simple. It's known as selective toxicity, and there are three main players. You've got B17 over here, the B17 molecule. You've got your cancer cell, okay, and you've got down here what's called rhodanase. Rhodanase is an enzyme that's present all through our bodies. And around the cancer cell, you can see here, you've got another enzyme which is called beta-glucosidase. Beta-glucosidase is an enzyme that is only present around a cancer cell. If you don't have cancer, you generally won't find beta-glucosidase. What is an enzyme? An enzyme is simply a protein that cuts apart another protein. And what happens is, when you've got the B17 molecule entering into the body, and it comes into presence with cancer cells, okay, it's the beta-glucosidase that's only present around cancer cells that reacts with the vitamin B17. The vitamin B17 is generally made of one part cyanide, one part benzaldehyde, and two parts sugar. That's the locked, chemical, inert molecule. It can't hurt you. It's totally locked in a safe form. When it comes into contact with the cancer cell, the beta-glucosidase causes a chemical reaction which then creates a toxic poison by mixing the benzaldehyde and the cyanide, which kills off the cancer cell. And that's all it does in a nutshell. It kills off the cancer cell from a chemical reaction in the body. Now, if you don't have cancer, you won't have the beta-glucosidase, which means the poison cannot be formed, which is why it's known as selective toxicity. So then rhodanase, which is the enzyme which is present all within our bodies, simply neutralizes the B17 and it goes into the liver and just comes out. You basically pee it out and nourishes healthy tissue. So it's absolutely harmless. Yet doctors, and depending who you speak to, will tell you, oh, it contains cyanide. Don't eat that. Don't eat apricot kernels. You're going to get cyanide poisoning. Okay, it's rubbish. It's natural. God made it. It's harmless. So for those of you with a bit of a scientific mind, this will all make all sense. For those of you that are based on that believe just by faith that God made something simple to destroy cancer, this is all it is. B17 available in over, it's not just apricot kernels, 1,200 different edible plants that it comes in. Apricot kernels and bitter almonds just happen to be the highest concentration, the highest substance, which is why you might hear stories of cancer patients eating 20, 30, 40, 50 apricot kernels a day, and they beat their cancers. If you want to read more stories about that, simply hop onto my website, b17.com.au, and you'll see all the stories are Australian. Story after story after story of Australians that have beaten their cancers with vitamin B17. So I guess the question then asks, or you may be asking the question, but Angelo, has this been tested by modern medicine? It's great what you say, we believe what you're saying, but has science tested this? Now, let me take you back to 1972. What happened was the government commissioned the Sloan Memorial Kettering Cancer Research Centre, which is this research centre down here. They're still here. They are still, they were then and they are still now, the number one cancer research centre in the United States and in the world. This is the number one cancer centre in the world. So the government basically said, get your top cancer specialist, put an end to this lateral B17 quackery, find out, we want to know. Does it work? Doesn't it work? Find out. So naturally they commissioned their number one cancer researcher at the time, which was a Japanese doctor named Dr. Kanematsu Segura. And they said, we want you to test for 5 years this lateral business and find out, does it work? Find out, get to the bottom of it. So him and his team went to work, and over 5 years with rats and lab mice, they did the studies. They obtained the lateral and they did the studies. And what they actually found, okay, was that lateral, and we'll see it a little bit later, lateral actually worked. He came and reported favourable results. The reason why you all don't know about it is because they covered it up and they reported the opposite, and we'll see a little bit more about that later. But he found lateral to be anti-metastatic, in other words, stop the spread of cancer. He called it a good palliative drug. He called it a drug because that's all he thought he was dealing with. And that was the intravenous injectable version that we saw before. And but they covered it up, which is why I've written there, so what happened? Why doesn't the world know about this discovery? Why doesn't the world know about what we saw before about the selective toxicity, that it only targets cancer cells? And the reason being, because these guys, okay, remember these guys, your American Cancer Society, your AMA, okay, these guys basically are the pharmaceutical industries. Doesn't matter if you're a cancer charity, doesn't matter if you're a government body used for regulating medicine, you are basically a pharmaceutical company, because the same people that run the cancer charities, that sit on the boards of all the government agencies that regulate medicines and drugs work in the pharmaceuticals. Now, government health and cancer agencies are basically one in the same. An article from USA Today reported more than half the experts hired to advise the government on the safety and effectiveness of medicine have financial relationships with the pharmaceutical companies that will be helped or hurt by their decisions. The American Cancer Society, which happens to be the wealthiest not-for-profit organisation on the planet, most of its board members are either ex-pharmaceutical or pharmaceutical, or work in the pharmaceuticals, or they have ties within the pharmaceutical company. If you once again do your own research, jump on the internet, you'll find article after article, news printing, all saying there's got to be a conflict of interest. There's got to be a conflict of interest because the same people making the drugs are the same people approving the drugs, and that is wrong. In 1999, Dr. Samuel Epstein from the University of Illinois indicted the ACS, which is the American Cancer Society, and other cancer charities for losing the winnable war against cancer, and invited them to give an account for themselves. And none of them turned up. And basically because they know the government health agencies that approve all the drugs basically are run by the same people that make the drugs. And that is why you will never hear about Laetril, because it's natural and there's no money in it. Now, I think Linus Pauling got it right when he wrote, everyone should know that most cancer research is largely a fraud. Now, we're just going to turn back to Dr. Kanematsu Segura, because when asked, why are they so much against it? Dr. Segura answered, I don't know. Maybe the medical profession doesn't like it because they're making too much money. This is coming from a totally unbiased doctor. He was just doing a researcher. He was just doing his work. Dr. Segura said, the most interesting part is metastasis, secondary cancer growth to another location. That's what metastasis means. When this mammary tumour grows to about 2 centimetres in diameter or more, about 80% develop lung metastasis. But with treatment with lateral amygdalin, it's cut down to about 20%. So basically what happened was, at the conclusion of the lateral drugs on June 15, 1977, after 5 years of research, the Sloan Memorial Kettering Research Centre released its press statement. Over 100 reporters and half a dozen film crews from television stations around the world had been assembled to hear the long-awaited official verdict on Laetrile. And they were from members of all the world's most prestigious cancer centres as well. On the history shows that on the dais were physicians with impeccable credentials. Dr. Robert Good began to speak. After general remarks condemning Laetrile and its use, he passed the microphone to Dr. Stock. This same Dr. Chester Stock, who had praised Dr. Segura's work in the past, took the microphone and began describing the finer details of the testing. As his voice droned on, it was evident all eyes from the press were on Dr. Segura, but he was not given the opportunity to speak. The press release that they released said, Laetrile was found to possess neither preventative, nor tumour regressant, nor anti-metastatic, nor any curative anti-cancer activity. So that's right. I guess it doesn't get any more adamant than that. That's what they reported. That's what we know. So we can close the book on Laetrile. But unfortunately for the bosses at Sloan Kettering that day, an article writes, there was a large fly in the ointment when suddenly a journalist shouted, Dr. Segura, do you stick by your belief that Laetrile stops the spread of cancer? And he replied, I stick. Now, that was back in the 70s, and we're told that Laetrile doesn't work. We're told the whole process. The medical community records that, you know, Laetrile can't release cyanide, doesn't release cyanide. Yet we've got British researchers now, okay, showing in this article, cyanide targets cancer. And let's have a read and listen. Listen to what they wrote and just listen to what we've just heard about the way Laetrile works. The cassava plant, the almond tree, and the hydrangea, which I don't really know what that is, but some kind of other plant, I guess, all have an enzyme that will produce cyanide when it comes into contact with a particular sugar molecule. The enzyme and the sugar are normally kept apart and are only brought together when a pest bites into the plant tissue. The Imperial College scientists have engineered the enzyme to attach it into an antibody that will target specific tumours when injected into the body. The enzyme circulates around the body and only accumulates at the tumour site, and then it will clear up from everyone else. In other words, it only targets specifically cancer cells. Then the second step is to inject the sugar drug. Now, Laetrile's two parts sugar as well, remember, one part benzaldehyde, one part cyanide, and two parts sugar. So then the second step is to inject the sugar drug, and that itself will circulate around the body, but only where the tumour is. Where the enzyme is, you will get the cyanide. It will be enough to kill the cancer cells, and you will be able to repeat it over and over again until the tumour is gone. Dr. Dennerain said, the cancer cells would not be able to develop a resistance to the cyanide in the way they can with some other current cancer therapies, as we saw on the video, that they can develop resistance to chemotherapies. And why? Because it's natural. There is generally natural substances, okay, you won't find that whether it's a bug or a cancer cell, it will not develop a resistant strain to it. So that was back in, I'll see if I can see the date on that, September 2000. And they were quite excited about that, but obviously they weren't able to re-engineer it into a drug. So we haven't heard anything more in the last 7 years, so I think that's another one that they've canned, even though they clearly found themselves selective toxicity. When they take the cyanide from cassava's very high in B17 as well, or the bitter almond, they found that they could kill cancer. I just want to read you a couple stories with B17, because basically we're being told, here's a therapy that according to Big Pharma and government regulators, it doesn't work. Yet they can't explain stories like this. This is Judy Martin. She appears on my website. She says, hi Angelo, my introduction to apricot kernels was through a friend who lives in New South Wales. She visited my house in September 2000 and was very sad as she had been diagnosed with metastasized bone cancer and had spots on her rib, spine and hip. She previously had breast cancer some 6 years ago before this diagnosis. I know she thought her life expectancy was doomed, and I felt quite shattered also, as I also had breast cancer 18 months before this and had used my friend as a benchmark of how I was going to progress. When speaking to her a few months later to check on her health, she informed me she was eating apricot kernels and in huge quantities a day. I believed it was around 30 kernels. This intrigued me as I had no idea that there was any value in the kernel of this fruit, but decided to start searching the internet for information on this. And this is when I came across Philip Day. Philip Day is a researcher from the UK who travels around the world talking on this topic, and other sites which endorse this cancer strategy. My friend is now cancer-free, according to her professor and specialist, and also a hair test that was done. She has a lavender farm which she works from the bush to the end, and also has alpacas. Hard work, and what an inspiration she is. My cancer, so that's her friend. She's just told the story of how her friend had really bad cancer, and yet she treated it with B17, in this case in the form of the apricot kernel. My cancer was bad and aggressive, she writes. Two tumours in the left breast and 14 of the 17 lymph nodes were cancerous. I had a mastectomy of the left breast, undertook four intense doses of chemo and six standard doses of chemo spaced about 3 weeks apart. I also had 6 weeks of radiation therapy and I knew I had a fight on my hands, as the specialist was very clear to explain that their belief was the cancer would also have spread elsewhere. I made a decision to take other vitamin supplements, including selenium, at the very beginning of my diagnosis. And when I heard about the apricot kernels, I thought maintenance and prevention was my next option. With experimentation, I had the kernels daily, but I found I had reflux. I interpreted that my body was telling me I did not have to have those so frequently, and have now taken them twice weekly, the equivalent of a flat teaspoon of crushed kernels each time. My five-year extensive checkup happened in March of this year and all my tests are great. I'm very well. I feel terrific now. I now have lots of energy to enjoy a wonderful life with my precious family and friends. My health is my wealth, and the help and joy I give to others and those who are embarking on a journey with cancer. It's a wonderful reward for being a survivor. Thank you again. And with all these testimonials, we give all the praise to God, because although you'll see the stories, they're all written, they're all emails that are just written to myself and thanking me, but when I talk to them, I tell them, praise God, because God is the author of all healing. Let's have a look at, we've skipped one there. Okay, Donald Factor. Now, the ladies will probably know this. You've heard of Max Factor, Max Factor Cosmetics? Okay, Donald Factor is the son of Max Factor. And Max Factor, the legendary makeup artist. And in 1986, Donald was diagnosed with carcinoma of the lung that had spread to his liver, and he was given about 4 months to live. He went through chemo, through radio, it really knocked him about, to the point where the doctor said, you know, Mr. Factor, come and grab your son Donald. There is nothing more we can do for him. But the Factors have money, so they heard about a hospital that used in Mexico that used natural treatments, of which the treatment of choice was Laetril. So they flew Donald over to Mexico. By the time he arrived, he was in a coma, and Dr. Ernesto Contreras at the time opened him up, and they started shunting in the enzymes to help out the Laetril. And 20 years later, Donald Factor lives to tell his story today. He did really, really well. If you actually go to, you'll see it in the slides a little bit later, to the oasisofhope.com, you'll see more information on that hospital, and they're celebrating over 100,000 patients, terminal cancer patients, successfully treated in the last 30 years using natural therapies, and they really follow the notion of do the patient no harm. I'll talk a little bit more about the Oasis Hospital later. You'll actually see Donald Factor return this year. He returned, I think, every 5 to 10 years just for a checkup, even though he's been given the all clear. But he returned for his 20-year checkup. And you'll see a video. If you log on to their website, you'll see a video of him speaking and telling his story and just saying, you know, he's still all clear. No sign of cancer. Okay, the next person we're going to look at is a gentleman by the name of Rod Szlonka, is the way you pronounce his name. Now, he used B17 for a really nasty brain tumour that he had. He writes, at 41, I was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. I was told that I would die, so I've personally fought this battle, and although there is nothing easy about it. It's a war which can be won. Every doctor I spoke to told me I was going to die. And his cancer was a result of he was a heavy user of mobile phones because of his work, and he had a very aggressive brain tumour. And you can see the scars there from the operation that he had in the photos. But basically, they told him the same thing. There's nothing more we can do for you. Get your affairs in order. You're going to die. And that's when he started researching, came across B17 and nutritional therapy. Once again, please, I want to make it clear. B17 is not a magic bullet. Every single story that you read here, and every story, whether they say it or not, I've communicated with the people that you'll find on my website, diet was always the main thing that they changed. And it was always a healthy diet, juices, raw juicing, raw fruit and vegetable, and diet is the most important part. You can take B17, inject it into you, eat all the kernels you want to, you're blue in the face. If you don't change your diet and make some serious changes, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you one bit. Okay, this is the Oasis Hospital, which in 2006 celebrated over 100,000 patients healed. They were all terminally cancer patients. It was founded by Dr. Ernesto Contreras. He passed away about a year and a half ago. And I've read his biography, and if you ever read something that would bring a tear to your eye, he was one of the most godly Christian men that I would say. I never got to meet him, but that I'd read about. His love for his patients was incredible. He treated his patients with love. He treated them naturally, and he saw many, many, many of his patients beat their cancers. It was interesting to note, he said the ones that were difficult that they didn't beat were generally ones because that patients that arrived to his clinic that have been like Donald Factor, cooked and burnt and poisoned through chemotherapy and radiotherapy and then told to go home and die, that there's nothing else they can do, and only then as a last-ditch effect, and that's the unfortunate side, as a last-ditch effect, a lot of people will travel to Mexico to get the treatment, and a lot of them still, even at that stage, recover and do well. His son now, Francisco Contreras, runs the hospital, and he's a quite well-known surgeon, orthopedic surgeon and oncologist around the world. Jason Winters used three herbs. He travelled the world looking for a cure after being given a few months to live. Basically, in 1977, his story says, a large cancerous growth appeared on the side of Jason's neck. Normal cancer treatments had little effect on the growth, and Jason was told, usual story, after chemo, after radiation, prepare to die. There's nothing more we can do. And his book, Killing Cancer, which I've read, it's an inspiring book because he goes into graphic detail of how the chemotherapy made him feel. He went through all conventional treatments, and they really, he's a big guy. I've actually met Sir Jason Winters. He's a big guy, and they really, he'll tell you, they really poisoned him good. And his story, it's inspiring. But his book, Killing Cancer, sold over 13 million copies around the world. And what he did was he travelled around as a last-ditch attempt to beat his cancer. He travelled around the world because he'd heard about herbs and teas and things that were good for cancer. And he remembered, because he was actually a movie actor, he's a stuntman, sorry, and he remembered sitting around with Native Indians on a movie set, and they would all have their teas, and they'd say something about it was really good for cancer, the tea that they were having. They were having chaparral, which is a well-known herb to cleanse the blood and used quite a lot against cancer. And so he saw some of that, had some, but he says because he'd smoked most of his life for about 40, 50 years, this was in his, I think, 60s when he got the cancer, 50s, 60s, that it really wasn't having an effect. Then he heard about red clover. He was originally from London, so he went back home and they told him about red clover, so he grabbed some of that and drank pints of red clover tea, but he still felt that it didn't make too much of a help. And all this time, time's getting the better of him. And actually, sorry, before he went to London, he went to Asia and found an Asian spice. He searched and searched and searched. He writes in his book, he says he found a little old Chinese lady and she said, yeah, this will make you better. This is the herb, which it's called herbaline. I don't know too much about it. And he drank that, didn't make any good, went to London, got the red clover, and then he was literally on his deathbed in London and he just felt he was going to die. That was it. He travelled the world. He didn't find the answer when he thought He looked up on the shelf and he had the three teas pre-made individually. And then he thought, no, all three of them, mix them. And he didn't realise, he knows now because they've done all the chemical tests, but by mixing the three teas, he made three individual, generally strong blood cleansers. Okay, once mixed together, formed a catalyst which made a super blood cleanser almost 100 times more potent than each one individually. And he says, he describes, the moment he drank that, he just felt like a rush through his body. And he said from there, he just drank gallons of the stuff. And he just felt different. He felt more energy because he was almost bedridden. And he used those three herbs to treat himself naturally with his cancer. And there, red clover for years has been known on its own as a great blood purificator and really good against cancer. Now, just to finish up, I just want to read a couple verses from the Bible which really highlight some of the things that we've been speaking about. Exodus 15:26, God makes it quite straightforward and simple. I am the Lord that heals you. Genesis 1:29, which we know, and God said, see that I have given you every herb bearing seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everlasting everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. I'm just going to skip down to Luke 18:27, where he writes, but he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And now with the pharmaceuticals, they just look at all these and they say impossible. They label anybody doing anything natural to treat cancer or any other condition a quack, because they don't understand it. They don't believe that God can cure cancer or any other disease. And finally, Hosea 4:6, which says, my people perish through lack of knowledge. And that, unfortunately, to this day is a sad truth, because when you leave this meeting, friends, you will talk to people that have cancer. You will know people that have cancer. And yet they will go through chemotherapy. They will go through radiation. And it's just sad that, unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't matter what you show them, what you tell them, they will always be subject to what I call sometimes the religion of medicine, because they just won't listen. And it's those that are willing to make a change, those that are willing to look forward and to fight cancer naturally with faith in God, the way God designed it, that actually do beat it. And you don't have to look far to find story upon story upon story showing that evidence. So I do have a video to show for this afternoon, but we'll take a break for 5 minutes and we'll see how we go, because it is getting late in the day, so we might have to leave it for another time.